The sun's coming out. Thank you, Lord. It's Palm Sunday. Hosanna. Hosanna to the King. And you know what Palm Sunday is all about, right? Where Jesus rode in to the holy city, to Jerusalem. And how is that tied to the culture that he lived in, to his Jewish tradition? Do you know that? Well, in Exodus, when God was first implementing the Passover, you know, the story of the death angels coming and put the blood over the doorposts of your house, and Jesus represents that Passover lamb. But here's the thing. When he instituted the feast of the Passover, okay, you know, I'm an adopted Jew. We got any adopted Jewish people in here? Yeah, the Bible says, the New Covenant says that we are engrafted into the Jewish lineage. But not according to the law, according to grace, right? So we don't have to celebrate the feast, but we get to participate of all the blessings that come along with these things, right? So that's why we're talking about this. So there's this aspect about it where they take a lamb. Well, let me just read it to you. It's Exodus 12:3. This is right there where they're instituted. He said, "The ant take special care of this chosen animal." Yeah, there it is. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. Go on to the next, Exodus 12:5. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat, with no defects. And then the next one, take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat of twilight. So on this Palm Sunday, guess what day it was? It was the 10th day of this month where you bring in this lamb. And from what I understand, they would literally bring this lamb like into their home, almost like our pet, you know, and love on it and take care of it. And then for the next consecutive days, they began to examine it, right? To find if there's any default or any defects in this perfect spotless lamb. And then what did they do with Jesus? They brought him during this Passion Week, right? And he goes, what, first to Pilate, then to Herod, then back to Pilate. They're examining him to see. And what does Pilate eventually do? I find no fault in this man. And he washes his hands. How powerful is that? That this very lamb was brought into the holy city of Jerusalem and examined for these days in the same way that for thousands of years the Jews had done this very thing with those lambs in their home. Isn't that amazing? And then obviously we know that next weekend, and that's what Pamela and David will be talking to us about, is what happens and the completion of it. It's going to be amazing. I want to go to the text of John 12 this morning, so you can turn there or click there. And I'm in the Passion Translation this time. Before I get into that, though, I want to tell you sort of a testimony. This is kind of cool for me personally. Last weekend, we were at the men's retreat, and I had this really odd thing happen where I just didn't feel well. And so literally on Saturday morning, I missed the last session of the retreat because I was telling my dad, like, I just don't feel good. I feel like my blood pressure's up. Somebody was saying my face was red. Like, what is going on? So I was like, do you think I should go to urgent care? I don't know. I don't know if it's that high. Let's go to Walgreens. Just take your blood pressure, check your pulse, whatever. So I went to Walgreens. It was up a little bit, but it wasn't like, you know, urgent care or emergency room up. And so I was like, well, I don't know what that is. Perhaps it's the no sleep for two nights in a row, or I don't know. So our friend Angel, who is a PA?
A nurse practitioner.
Nurse practitioner. I always get those confused. I call her Dr. Angel, Nurse Angel. She said, well, okay. So he should go to his doctor on Monday, just make sure that everything's okay. So I went to the doctor on Monday, and not only did I have the best blood pressure on record, he took my blood pressure.
For
he's
you,
like,
for
me,
record.
Yeah, not on record. On my record. Like, on my record with that doctor, this was the best blood pressure I'd ever had. Like, wow, that's good. Well, while I'm sitting there, I'm also scanning the notes on my phone to look at my blood pressure, because sometimes I'll take my blood pressure at home just to monitor it, keep track of it, and then record it on my phone. So I type into my notes blood pressure, and I can't find the readings, but I did find a journal entry. And it was from 2.5 years ago on October 26, 2016. I wrote this: I'm at the doctor for a blood pressure check, and he just sits and talks to me like a friend for 20 minutes. And I was wearing my blue Hurley t-shirt, and the doctor says, "What's that all over your shirt? It has 919s all over it." Okay, so back in 2013, when we were living in another city, God began to speak, first of all, to Sarah about Chapel Hill. And the very first prophetic, we'll call it a hint, because I wouldn't call this like a confirmed prophetic thing, but the first hint we got was this number 919. Some of you know this story. She kept seeing 919 everywhere, like, "What's this 919? And she came to me, she's like, "What does 919 mean?" I was like, "Well, it is the area code of the central of the state region." And so that began a trail for us, if you're with me. A trail, a prophetic trail, in which it went from that prophetic hint to a prophetic talking to, like, God, other ways. I'm not going to go into all the story. Until finally it was like, "Chapel Hill, you dummies. Like, do you understand? I need you in Chapel Hill." So I had 919s anyway, all over my shirt. My doctor's talking to me about, I'm there for a blood pressure check. Then when I got home that day, the UPS truck pulled up and the driver said to me, "Has anyone ever told you that you look like Brett Favre?" Yeah. I said, "Well, actually they have." And if I had the talent of Brett Favre and the money, no. But I just felt like the Lord spoke to me about favor, you know, because his last name kind of looks like favor, like Brett Favre. And these incidents are a reminder, this is what I wrote, of the Lord's covenant with us, that 919 was our initial sign of the promise. And number two, that we have found favor. And I just put, "Thanks for the reminder, Father," you know. And I just want to encourage you this morning, because I want to talk about the importance of the prophetic words God's put in your life. Or if that P word is confusing to you, the importance of when God speaks to you, you hear those words and you begin a path of obedience towards those words. Another way to define the prophetic to me is simply, I hear God speak and I convey that message to someone else. Right? That's what we typically know as someone prophesied. That's really all it is. But our whole lives are prophetic, aren't they? Like, they're a prophetic journey that we're on of intimacy and communion with God. And just like my story here, I just want to encourage you that God has and is speaking things over your life that he will continue to remind you of. Why? Because he's a good dad. It's like you parents, when your kids are leaving the house, what do you remind them of? We got one getting ready to get his driver's license. Buckle your seatbelt. Pretty good at that. Put your phone away. You know, remember who you are. God's constantly reminding us who we are, why we're here, and what the purpose of all this is, really. You know, do you believe that?
Yeah.
Amen. John 12, verse 1. Now, remember, in a blustery cold, I don't know if it's blustery cold in Israel or not, but in the wintertime of AD 30, Jesus' good buddy Lazarus died, right? Remember that story? And he had two sisters, Martha and Mary. and Jesus kind of hung out too long, they thought, at where he was. And they're like, Jesus, my brother's, he's very sick and he didn't come and he passed away. And you know the story, it's in John 11, if you want to go back and read it, you're not familiar with what I'm talking about. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And this incredible, incredible miracle happened. And this is where it picks up here in the story of John 12, 1, 6 days before the Passover began. So that was in the winter sometime of AD 30. Now we're in the spring, right? Passover. We're in the spring. Oh, sorry, it might have been AD 29 to 30. Now we're in the spring of 30. And Jesus went back there. He went back to Bethany, the town where he raised Lazarus from the dead. They had prepared a supper for Jesus, and Martha served, and Lazarus and Mary were among those at the table. Can you imagine that scene? I mean, I just get goosebumps thinking about that. Like, this guy was dead for 4 days, and now they're hanging out having dinner. I mean, how awesome is that and exuberant? And I can't imagine how wonderfully surprised and exuberant his sisters were, because they were very, very close. And one thing I learned from the History Channel is back in those days, in the very patriarchal culture and society, when young women were not married, their brother was very important to them. And so when he died, they lost not just a brother, but they lost like protection and provision in their lives. So Jesus had restored the whole kit and caboodle to them. If you know what I'm saying, right? And thank God for the History Channel. And Mary picked up an alabaster jar filled with nearly a liter of extremely rare and costly perfume, the purest extract of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet. Got the good old anointing oil sitting up here. And then she wiped them dry with her long hair. And the fragrance of the costly oil filled the house. The fragrance of that oil. I feel like that's what we were doing this morning. Not just with the oil. That's just a prophetic sign. But with our worship. We're like Mary here. We're just pouring it out. I don't even sing good. God, I don't care. You're so wonderful. I can't even dance, Lord. That's all right. Dance in your heart. If you can, come on, Joel, like, give it all you got. Like, pour out the worship. Pour it out before Jesus because he's so worthy. Yeah. And I've said this before, but T.D. Jakes' youth pastor, I can't remember his name. We heard him preach one time at this conference. And he said, "Don't judge my breakthrough till you've seen my been through." Don't judge my breakthrough till you've seen my been through. And we're going to find out. Mary got judged here. Okay? But are you really looking at what she had been through? You know, are you really looking? That's why I just decided in my heart, every opportunity I have, I'm just going to pour it out. I'm going to pour it out because it's not for anybody else. It's not for how neat we can make the production or how clean we can look and all put together. Yeah, I don't want to just make a show to like get in the flesh and be all crazy, but I want Jesus to be praised. I want to pour out my worship. Plus, I think what we see here is that praise that Mary poured out, maybe it unlocked something. It unlocked something. But Judas, the locksmith, Simon's son, the betrayer, spoke up and said, "What a waste. We could have sold this perfume for a fortune and given the money to the poor." There's a very religious idea. It's a great idea, Judas. You know, some committees might vote that in, you know. We could do that. You know, Lord, have mercy on us. Let's pour out the oil on Jesus. In fact, Judas had no heart for the poor. He only said this because he was a thief and in charge of the money case. He would steal money whenever he wanted from the funds given to support Jesus' ministry. Jesus said to Judas, "Leave her alone. She has saved it for the time of my burial. You'll always have the poor with you, but you won't always have me. When the word got out that Jesus was not far from Jerusalem, a large crowd came out to see him, and they also wanted to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. This prompted the chief priests to seal their plans to do away with both Jesus and Lazarus. Can you imagine that? They're going to kill him. Like, they want to kill the Son of God. That's what that religious heart that says, see, you're not following. Yeah, that's what they wanted to do. And they also wanted to kill Lazarus. Like, we're going to kill him too. One of my buddies on the retreat, Larry Faldo, he said, you know, church tradition says, and I haven't done the research on this, forgive me, but look it up. Let me know if you find it. But he says that some of the other historical writers of the period wrote that they actually threatened Lazarus to be boiled in oil. They were going to execute him and kill him and boil in oil. And he sort of laughed at them. And he was like, basically, go ahead. I've seen the other side. There ain't nothing you can do to this body that is going to steal me from the glory that awaits me. Go ahead, do whatever you want to. You know, I mean, I just thought, man, that is so good, Larry. Like, could I have that perspective? Like, there's nothing man can do because of what Jesus has done that we celebrate this week, you know, in the Passover and the Resurrection Sunday in Easter. And so this prompted the chief, okay, and they were planning to do away with Jesus and Lazarus, for his miracle testimony was incontrovertible and was persuading many of the Jews living in Jerusalem to believe in Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, I sort of believe now. I feel like the Lord just spoke in my heart this week. He said, Matthew, there's a miracle coming to Chapel Hill. There's an incontrovertible miracle. So I thought about the blind man that Jesus healed, remember? And it caused a stir. I thought about in the book of Acts, the lame man at the temple gates that the apostles, what was it, Peter, that Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have any, but what I do have, rise up and walk. And it's like people were amazed because this guy had been lame from birth, like had never walked. He said, there's an incontrovertible miracle that's coming. And I was like, amen. Like, let it be so, Lord. Yes and amen. Lord, we just declare that in, that the doctors and the medical community, they have no explanation. You know, I mean, you actually hear about these things a lot, like metal being replaced by bone, you know. I heard a testimony the other day of someone who had donated a kidney, and unexplainably, she went in and she had another kidney. You know, these sorts of things, God is going to do this for a sign that makes you wonder. You know, why does God do miracles and do healing? Well, number one, because he loves people. He loves people and he hates sickness. And he died to set people free from disease. But number two, he does it biblically to show the power of God. That he has the power over all of these things. Even these things of physics and nature and such. There's a miracle coming to Chapel Hill. Will you guys believe with me with that? Lord, we just say yes, Lord. Amen. The man or woman born blind, deaf from birth, whatever it is, God, we thank. Lord, if Heidi Baker can say, bring me all the deaf, they all get healed and everyone turns to Christ. Lord, I don't know. The incontrovertible miracle in Chapel Hill. Lord, that the whole city turn to Christ. That this, what is this God that could do such a thing? So the next day, just keep on reading. The news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the massive crowd gathered for the feast. So they took palm branches, right? This is that day, that 10th day of that Hebrew month that we're talking about. And they went out to meet him. Everyone was shouting, "Lord, be our Savior. Blessed is the one who comes to us from Jehovah God, the King of Israel." Then Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it to fulfill what was prophesied. "People of Zion, have no fear. Look, it's your king coming to you riding on a young donkey." Now, Jesus' disciples didn't fully understand the importance of what was taking place. This is where I want to zero in our attention in this whole passage. What is the importance of the prophetic? The prophetic. What's the importance of Mary pouring out all that oil besides she wastes a lot of money like Judas accused her of? Jesus said, no, this is important. She is preparing my body for burial. And the Bible says here that even Jesus' disciples, they had followed him for a good 3 years. They had seen him defy the laws of physics, everything. They had heard his own words about what was going to happen, but they didn't fully understand the importance of what was taking place. And I was thinking about Gideon. Remember Gideon last week? How God said, "Arise, O you man of valor." And he was like, "I don't know who you're talking to. There must be some other guy in this wine press, because I'm shaking in my boots. I'm scared." And he said, "Arise in this might of yours. Go and defeat." It was like Gideon didn't know right that minute what the importance prophetically of that word was. And he began to step out of his wine press, and I just see through the light, he began to take action. He began to lead people into battle. We were reading this week that one time they took all these men into battle and they didn't have any weapons. I'm like, how foolish is that? Because the Philistines were all the blacksmiths. So all the plows and all the pitchforks or whatever farm implements they had, they would make those into swords and spears and such. And the Philistines were all the blacksmiths. So there were no blacksmiths in Israel. Which one was that took them out? Does anybody remember? I don't think it was Gideon. It was one of the other judges after him. They took him out to battle with like 3,000 guys with no swords. Oh my God. What are you guys doing? This does not make any logical sense. And guess what happened? They won the battle. How do you win a battle with no guns? Can you tell me that, Mr. Marine, back there? Nobody does that. I'm not advocating for it. I'm saying, what's the importance of the word of the Lord when it first starts in Gideon's heart? And he gets a vision. He says, you know what? We could set, if one can set 100 to flight or 1,000 to flight, how many, you know, we can set a lot of people to flight, so to speak. God's going to use us. And so, but after he was raised and exalted into glory, they understood how Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies in the scriptures that were written about him. It's what I call the aha moments. Oh, yeah, could have had a V8. Yeah. Like, duh. Like, oh, that's what God is doing. Have you ever been there? Like, oh, that was like my week. You know, I was typed in blood pressure and I got the blood of the covenant promise because Sarah said to me, she goes, "Hey, every time you get your blood pressure taken, you should take it as a sign to remember that God has made a blood covenant with you. That you are a son of the promise." Woo, come on, that'll preach. They didn't fully understand the importance. But then after the fact, oh yeah, looking back, wherever you are in that place, you just got the word, you're in the in-between, you're at the end of it, stand in fulfillment. God keeps his promises. The Lord finishes what he starts. All the eyewitnesses of the miracle Jesus performed when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, kept spreading the news about Jesus to everyone. Come on, the news went all over the place. Like, do you know about this? Hey, can I tell you, how many people have ever been fired up in your life where you just felt that way? I mean, I know what it's like to feel like, man, I can never talk to that person. And I know what it's like to feel like, oh, I cannot stop from talking to that person. People just, it started spreading like wildfire. Because I've seen this with my own eyes. The miracle, let me tell you, the power of Christ, the news of this miracle of the resurrection caused the crowds to swell as great numbers of people welcomed him into the city with joy. But the Pharisees were disturbed by this and said to each other, "We won't be able to stop this. The whole world's running after him." Yeah, you got that right. You're not going to be able to stop this. Now, remember, one of the reasons why those disciples even, they weren't really sure is because they're waiting on King David. Like, they think this guy's going to come with like a sword in his hand. He's going to deliver them from Roman occupation. He's going to raise up the Israeli militia. They're going to go, probably have swords this time, hopefully. They're going to take it back, the kingdom of Israel. And Jesus comes in riding a donkey instead of a steady steed. You know, I just envision, here he comes riding in with his sword. And then they see this guy. I don't think he was like meek and mild and like wimpy, but he's riding a donkey. And some of them are just like, yeah, I'm not really feeling this. I'm not getting this. But he's saying, my kingdom's not of this world. There's something greater. There's a kingdom that can't be shaken. And even in our world that we live in, despite what happens, I believe God will preserve our freedom. God's going to preserve our nation. Let his grace continue to be shown on us. Amen? But we have an identity card that's superior to the United States passport. It's called the Kingdom of Heaven. It's not a kingdom of fighting and bickering and this or that. It's a kingdom of love, joy, peace, and righteousness, and a shalom. We were just releasing that shalom, that peace over our lives this week. Remember when we were walking? And I was just thinking, or maybe we were running. Trying to do a little bit of both. We're exercising, okay? And we're just like, Lord, we just thank you for that peace. And I was just thinking about how he said, it's my peace I leave with you, not yours. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. I don't have to have my peace. My shalom. So there was a number of foreigners, I'm almost done here, from among the nations who were worshipers at the feast. They went to Philip, who came from the village of Bethsaida in Galilee, and they asked him, hey, Philip, will you take us to see Jesus? We want to see him too. So Philip went to find Andrew, and then they both went to inform Jesus. And he replied to them, now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Let me make this clear. A single grain of wheat will never be more than a single grain of wheat unless it drops into the ground and dies. Because then it sprouts and produces a great harvest of wheat, all because one grain died. The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever. If you want to be my disciple, follow me and you will go where I am going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon your life. So how do we do this, Lord? How do we do this? We listen to what he's speaking to us. Those words of life become so real and so grounded in our hearts that the preoccupations of this world begin to fall away, don't they? They begin to become a little less significant. In this world, we're going to have trouble. Hate to tell you, until glory, you got to pay the bills. You know, you've got these things to deal with. But in his kingdom, there's something superior to that. There's a soaring with the eagle. And this is the prophetic, the significance of those now words that God speaks into our lives. There's even some people who received something in the prayer line up here this morning, or one of the younger people. These words that were prayed over you, you may not understand it now, but you're going to look back, or God will remind you, hey, you remember that Palm Sunday when that very simple maybe prayer was prayed, I never realized that would begin the beginning of something remarkable in my life. This is how you follow Jesus. You listen to His words. You follow those words. And you obey what He's telling you to do. And you see the beauty that surrounds your life. Amen? He said, even though I'm torn within and my soul is in turmoil, I will not ask the Father to rescue me from this hour of trial. For I have come to fulfill my purpose, to offer myself to God. So, Father, bring glory to your name. I love this part. This is so wild. Then suddenly a booming voice was heard from the sky. I can't do a booming voice. I have glorified my name and I will glorify it through you again. What? Did you hear that? I think I heard something. Did you hear that? The audible voice. I mean, this literally happened, right? The audible voice of God startled the crowd standing nearby. Well, I guess so. I would be a little scared too. Some thought it was only thunder, yet others said an angel just spoke to him. Then Jesus told them, "The voice you heard was not for my benefit, but for yours, to help you believe." See, the voice that God speaks into your heart, even if it doesn't come out of a cloud out there, audibly. I know people have heard the audible voice of God, Chuck for one, in unique situations and circumstances. Hey, maybe it'll become the ordinary. I don't know. But the voice that God speaks, Jesus is saying, hey, this isn't for me, this is for you. I'm speaking this into your heart. These are the things that you hold on to. In fact, in another passage in one of the letters to Timothy, Paul even tells his young protege, he says, listen, the prophetic words that you receive, take those and fight with those things. You know? So how many people feel like you're in a battle right now? You know? I just want to encourage you to take those words and fight with those words, meaning hide them in your heart like Mary, the mother of Jesus, did. Ponder them. Eat those words, so to speak. Like, let them put you to sleep at night. Let them raise you up in the morning, over your lunch break, whatever. I encourage you, put them in a journal. Get them. I love being able to search things and find them on my piece of technology here. Whatever it is, I don't know. Everybody's different. You have a different way. But ponder these things because we're hearing real words. We're hearing real words, guys, that benefit many people. Yeah. Last week, I heard a word about blood disease, I believe. Tavitris heard a part of that about hemoglobin. Tracy responded to the word and said, this is me. And you heard her testimony. She got healed. Then Sarah, I went back and listened to the recording from last Sunday. Sarah prayed, God, she spoke to the hemoglobin levels in your body. She said, I pray next time she goes to the doctor, they'll be completely normal. And everything that she prayed is exactly what happened to Tracy. You know, and then there were two other people this week that had massive concerns and attacks regarding the blood. Yeah. So I just want to encourage you. You see, Paul says we see in part and we prophesy in part. In other words, we might just be getting little pieces. But as we continue to be faithful in the little, God will make us a steward of more. Yeah. And we'll continue to hear more and we'll work together as a body. Mm-hmm. And we'll do that and we'll grow in kingdom authority. Mm-hmm. Not for our recognition, but for His glory. Because He wants to set the blind free. He wants them to see. He wants deaf ears to be open. He wants all sorts of cancers to be healed. Yeah. He wants thousands upon thousands, a whole community to be saved, right?
Right.
He wants little babies who are being aborted to be saved, to be rescued. That's the importance of the prophetic voice. And I want to just say, it doesn't just come through really great organization and like really smart business mindsets. God can uses those things. There's the spiritual gift of administration. There's some in here who have that, and that helps. We need all that. I feel like I'm a less and less more administrative. I am, but we need that. But my point is this: we only live on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's no plan B. There's no other option. I can't do church any other way. Like, we're just going to do what God says, what God shows us. And it's good in the springtime. It's like I get all these messages like, well, Pastor, maybe we should do this. Pastor, maybe we should do that. Pastor, we should do this. And I'm like, oh, like, okay, God. I feel like Moses, like, how? How are we going to do this? He's like, don't worry about it, Matthew. Who? You just focus on the who. I'll take care of the how. I'm going to send the people. I'm going to send the finances. All of these things are going to fall into line right now. But we're going to keep going after Jesus. Amen? Amen. Yeah.
Okay, so I just feel like the Lord was just reminding me that this is something I want to encourage us all in community. Okay? You know, we have one view of community and keeping ourselves accountable, right? You've heard people say, you need to have an accountability partner. Mm-hmm. And that has sometimes been scary because it's like, does that mean I got to be accountable for all my junk? You know what I mean? Like, that means that you're going to call me out like, how you been this week? You been sinning or no? You know, like just that's what that's been one perspective of accountability, right? But what I want to give you another perspective of accountability that I believe that what I feel like the Lord is showing me recently is that we want to hold each other accountable for the dreams, the prophetic words, the gold that God has placed inside of each one of us. We want to go remind each other. We share with each other the things that you feel like the Lord has spoken over your life. And then let's hold each other accountable. Let's call each other to those things. I got a phone call this week from somebody who has been like a spiritual mother in my life too. And she kind of was holding me accountable. She said, hey, Sarah, I want to ask you a question. I was like, what? And she was like, what'd you do with that word I gave you 2 years ago? And I knew what she was talking about. And I was like, well, you know, I've been pursuing it, you know, a little bit, you know. And because it was kind of a directional word. It was a word of, this is what I feel like the Lord wants to do in your life. This is what, you know. And she said, well, I think it's time for you to get on that. And I knew what she was talking about because it was one of those things where, you know, there are words in our lives, like the dreams and things in our lives that we can either just throw out and say, well, God, if you're going to do it, then you're going to do it. And I'll wait back to see how you're going to do it. But there's also things where the Lord's saying, are you going to come into agreement with this word? Are you going to partner with me in this word? Are you going to say, okay, I see the Lord on this, so Lord, how do you want to prepare me in this way? What are some things, little things, day by day, I can start doing to say yes to that word over my life, you know? And when you bring me opportunities, I'm going to say yes, and it may require something of me. Yeah. It may require a little bit of work to go along with it. But if we really, that's the kind of accountability I want to encourage us in. Yeah. You know, she was holding me accountable. And I think those are good. She was saying, what are you doing with that? And it was good stuff. It wasn't a hard thing. It was the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just want us to encourage each other in those things.
That's a good word. Amen. That's good. We're going to shift into summer. Maybe in the natural, obviously, but spiritually, you know, and so all these dreams, all these things, it's going to be time to go to work. I'm like, okay, Lord, these are the things we're dreaming about. These are what we're feeling prophetically. Now, what exactly do we work on? What do we do? You know, where do we go with this? So who's excited about that?
Yeah.
I'm excited. And
I just feel like...
For the recording.
I'm sorry. I just feel like... you know, a lot of times when you're doing Bible studies or when you're reading books, it says, what would you do if money were no option? But I really felt like the Lord just said to me, because I struggle with that one, you know. He said, well, what would you do if fear were no option?
Wow.
You know, or no obstacle.
That's
you know?
Good.
And I thought, that is, that means something to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, that goes past money.
Yeah.
You know, into all those other areas that you could doubt. You
right.
know?
Right.
And so I just thought, that's amazing. What if fear were no obstacle mm-hmm. in your
yeah.
life? Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
That's that song that we sang, right?
Yeah.
How did that song go?
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm standing in your love.
Fear. That's good. Well, I want to pray last for those who are in that prophetic season of like just not sure, you know, because I've been there and, you know, sometimes you're like, well, I don't have any words on that. Okay, well, Lord, give me one.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord's going to give you a word and that'll be the thing to stand on. Maybe it'll come today. Maybe it'll come tomorrow. It's going to come though. He said, he who asks receives. If you ask him, he's a good dad. He's not going to give you a rock instead of a fish. That's the analogy that Jesus used. He's going to give you a word. He's going to give you bread. That's the Lord's Prayer, our daily bread, right? Give me today what I need. Like, just keep living your life that week. Keep pursuing that. Amen?
Yeah.
So, come up here if that's you. You guys stand with me. And we'll just pray and keep celebrating Jesus. Palm Sunday. Amen. Hosanna to the Son of David, the very one that restored that prophetic mantle. God, you made a way so that we can come in boldly to the Holy of Holies. Lord, we have the privilege and the opportunity for that. Thank you that you've done that, Lord. Thank you that you have made us holy. God, we just thank you for that. We bless you. We pray that your goodness and your mercy would follow us every day.
Yeah.
This week, God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So there's these cards back there. Darren, could you grab those maybe? And just pass them out. Tell Darren how many you need or whatever. And take them, invite people. It's going to be an awesome time. So be blessed. If you want prayer for that, come up here.